with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Air carriers are facing a push from consumers to go green. The Wall Street Journal's middle seat columnist Scott McCartney says they've made some headway in becoming more efficient, but greenhouse gas emissions are still on the rise. Scott McCartney joins us now via Skype from Dallas with more details. Scott, the Wall Street Journal has been reporting for a while now on how different industries, from food companies to airlines to tech companies, are facing more pressure from consumers to be more socially conscious and take steps to be more eco-friendly. What can you tell us about what consumers are asking for when it comes to going green in the skies?
Well, Anne-Marie, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Some airlines have offered carbon calculators where consumers can actually pay to offset the carbon pollution that their particular flight produces, and they see very little uptake on that. But on the corporate side, corporate contracts with airlines increasingly include carbon offsets. And companies that contract for a lot of flying with airlines really are pressuring them to reduce emissions. One reason is the companies themselves have to report their environmental impact each year, and how much their employees fly plays a big part in that. So by reducing their greenhouse gases produced by flying, they can make the company themselves a little greener.
Tell us a little bit about the progress specific air carriers have made in recent years to go more eco-friendly. What are some of the initiatives they've undertaken?
So most of the progress so far has come from greater fuel efficiency in new airplanes. If you compare the new airplanes coming off Boeing and Airbus assembly lines today with planes from the, say, late 90s, the generation of planes that we saw then, they're about 20% more efficient today. If you go way back to the early jets of the 60s, they're about 70% more fuel efficient. So there's obviously a direct correlation between how much fuel a plane burns and how much greenhouse gas is produced out the back of the engine. So with that 20% reduction that they see when they replace an older plane with a newer plane, they've been able to increase fuel efficiency by about 2%. The airline industry in 2009 actually voluntarily set a goal that by 2020 that they would average 1.5% reduction each year. And they're in pretty good shape to meet that goal. They have a midterm goal of all future growth from next year going forward being carbon neutral. So in other words, not increasing their emissions. And they're not in such good shape for reaching that goal. What we've seen is that, yes, fuel efficiency has increased, but flying has also increased. There are more people flying, more planes in the sky. And so actually the total tonnage of greenhouse gas emissions produced has been increasing, not decreasing.
So let's talk about that and some of the challenges in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Why has that been such a problem for airlines?
The basic issue is there aren't a whole lot of alternatives. You know, with automobiles, we have electric cars, hybrid cars. With electricity generation, you can switch from dirtier fuel to a cleaner fuel. There are a lot of alternatives, solar energy, people are using things like that. That's not the case with airplanes. You got to put some kind of liquid into the tank and burn it through the jet engine. We've seen a lot of attention focused on biofuels. And biofuels are very interesting. I mean, the first biofuel demonstration flight I covered, it was back in 2008, almost exactly 11 years ago. And we still don't have consistent biofuel use in the industry. Biofuels are produced from plants, from algae, from recycling waste products. There are six different approved types of biofuel, and they don't burn any cleaner necessarily out the back of the jet engine, but they're credited, they're seen as cleaner because the plants, the algae, they suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And so the process of producing them is a whole lot more beneficial for the environment than drilling petroleum out of the ground. But the biofuels are expensive. There have been both competing needs for the resources, for plants, for nuts, things like that, and competing uses in terms of tax credits for biodiesel and things. So the airline industry has had a very hard time getting away from petroleum-based jet fuel.
All right, I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal middle seat columnist Scott McCartney. Coming up, we'll talk more about the goals airlines have set to be more eco-friendly in the future. Scott, we've been talking about what airlines are doing to go green and also how that process has been somewhat slow going for them. What are you hearing from airlines about their goals to become more eco-friendly in the future? You talked about some of those goals ahead for 2020, but going even further past that, what are the ultimate goals and what are the challenges there?
The main goal the industry has adopted is that it's pledged to reduce its overall emissions by 50% by the year 2050. And that's off of the base of how much emissions were produced in 2005. To get there, a lot of things have to happen. We discussed the sort of incremental results produced by greater fuel efficiency, the notion of buying carbon offsets, which basically means paying an environmental group or someone else to plant trees that will take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere in the same amounts that airlines actually put carbon dioxide into the atmosphere out the back of a jet engine. But to really get to a 50% overall reduction in the amount of emissions, especially when the industry is growing and will presumably continue to grow, it's really going to take some kind of radical new technology. There's a lot of research going on electric airplanes, and some hope that electric-powered airplanes, battery-powered, could provide some service on short routes with, you know, light passenger loads. These aren't going to, you know, unless something radically changes, likely not to be big planes and likely not to have the stored energy to fly long distances. So even that will be, if it does happen, would be a sort of a marginal improvement. To get to that 50% reduction, it's really going to be challenging for the industry.
And what about federal regulations? Are those likely to help speed efforts along in any way?
In terms of federal regulation and even European regulation, other nations, you know, we haven't seen that so far. The industry is concerned. The concerns basically revolve around the possibility of a carbon tax someday, which obviously would be passed on to passengers and might either restrict flying or encourage airlines to get cleaner faster, or the possibility that nations will say no more flights, reduce flights, things like that. You have to remember the airline industry worldwide is about 2%, produces about 2% of greenhouse gases. So it's very small compared to automobiles, compared to it's become about the same as electricity generation in the U.S. But that 2%, you know, it's still a very visible 2%. We all see the planes flying overhead. Some of what you see, the contrail in a plane is not greenhouse gas, but is in fact water produced by the engine. But the water itself creates a cloud layer that does help heat the planet. So it's an environmental concern as well. You know, in Europe, there's been a lot of talk that people jump on airplanes for 10 euros and go for the weekend to Prague or wherever. And it's so cheap that maybe it shouldn't be so cheap. Maybe there shouldn't be so much sort of spur of the moment, whimsical flying. And maybe for the sake of the environment, we need fewer flights and maybe bigger airplanes.
Wall Street Journal middle seat columnist Scott McCartney joining us via Skype from Dallas to talk more about the airline industry's efforts to go green. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, Anne-Marie.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.